today on Real Radio.
You've got to go through it because you'll never fully understand the New Testament without trudging through the Old. And what is concealed in the Old is revealed in the New.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes Israel being in conflict against her neighbors. Now that alone has a resemblance to today's situation, of course, and therefore offers much for our worldview today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a look at chapter 3. It's a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever.
I don't know where people have gotten the idea that the New Testament is for now and the Old Testament is for somebody who lived way back then. The Old Testament and the New Testament is God's Word given to us. Didn't Jesus himself say that he would not, or heaven and earth would not pass away, that is, that until all these things be fulfilled? Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is holy, it is just, it is God's Word, it is infallible. And somebody might say, well, I don't like to read the Old Testament because... You've got to go through it because you'll never fully understand the New Testament without trudging through the Old. And what is concealed in the Old is revealed in the New. And what is revealed in the New answers to what was originated in the Old. The Old Testament and New Testament are absolutely welded together, God's eternal Word. And by the way, you will never quite understand why Israel is such an important factor throughout human history if you don't read the Old Testament. And you won't quite exactly understand the future events of the New Testament without understanding what the Old Testament has to say. And quite frankly, you won't really understand yourself much unless you dive into the Old Testament. Because I tell you what, you and I would do very well if we dove into the book of Psalms, for example, to find out just exactly how we're wired. Did you know the book of Psalms allows us into our own psyche and our own makeup and our own trials and difficulties through the life of David? He is the model of how we ought to handle things as a believer. David. All in the Old Testament. Why am I saying this? Why is it important? Because the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might inherit or have the hope. And 1 Chronicles 16:34, the Bible says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and His mercy endures forever. Do you know what it is to have the mercy of God upon your life? It is this. And actually, you do know, but you may not be too often aware of it because we kind of take it for granted. God's mercy is His amazing, holy ability to grant to us the act of, or the pardoning from what you and I deserve. God would be justified to bring His judgment upon us for the wrongs that we do. But in His mercy, He holds back. He is holy and He is just. But when He looks upon you, the believer, and when you ask for mercy, He loves to extend mercy. That's why the Scriptures say that His mercy endures forever. God loves to extend to you and I mercy. He is not disgruntled. He is not walking around pacing in heaven with a big mallet. Have you ever seen that exterminator truck around town that drives with that guy? He's got the top hat on with that big mallet. And there's that little mouse right there looking at him. A lot of people view God like that. Like we're the little mouse and God's got the mallet and He's about ready to punch us, you know, with that mallet? Not at all. His mercy endures forever. He does not give us what we deserve. He gives us grace and He gives us mercy. You want to know how much the Old Testament spoke about this? Listen to this. In fact, turn there if you would. Put your finger there in Judges. Turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And listen, if we don't get any further tonight, that's okay, because you'll not get much out of chapter 3 of Judges without having a beautiful understanding of His mercy. In fact, you'll just get swallowed up in depression if you don't understand His mercy. Psalm 136, beginning at verse 1. Hey, how about this? I'll read the first part of the verse. Can you guys shout back to me the latter end of the verse? I'll give you a clue. The latter end of the verse is, "For His mercy endures forever." Are you ready? Okay, anybody not shouting back? I'm kidding. We will give you mercy, but you just won't be playing with us very well. Listen, here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of gods.
For His mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him alone who does great wonders. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens.
For
to Him, verse 6, for to Him who laid out the earth above the waters. To Him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To Him who struck Egypt in the firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To Him who leads His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down great kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og of Bashan. And gave their lands as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, His servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Church, you will find that in no other book in all of the world. His mercy endures to your life forever. Why am I stressing this? Why did we just do that? Because where we're going, God wanted to lavish Israel with His mercy and His grace day by day. But they had other things in mind. Look with me now as we look into this. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Verses 1 to 4, by preparing a people in this world. Church, hang on to your seats. First of all, the Lord fortified their hearts and their minds. That's what He's going to do, and that's what He wants to do in the book of Judges. God wants to bless His people. He wants to prepare a people for this world, and He was going to do that with Israel. And He's committed to doing that. And He's committed to fortifying their hearts and their minds in this world. Church, listen. As we go through this, the parallel is this. God wants to fortify your heart and my heart, our minds together, to follow God, be obedient to the Lord, have a blessed life. He will prepare us for this world in which we live in. And it is a rough world, as we shall see in a moment. Look at verse 1, chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left that He might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars of Canaan. Verse 2 says, this was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known war, namely the five lords among, number one here, he's going to list some, though there were more than this, Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, Hivites, who dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Hamath. This is important in a moment. And they were left that he, that is the Lord, might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Listen, this if we had, and I don't know if we have a map up here tonight or not, we didn't rehearse this in time tonight, but church, if you were to look at a map of Israel today, you would notice some of these names, the Philistines, where that is the basis of what is termed today the Palestinians, the areas of the Gaza Strip region where Ashkelon is at, those locations today. If you were to superimpose an old map upon a new map, you would see these regions that are very, very similar to us. For example, when he speaks about these guys here, the Sidonians lived in the area of Tyre and Sidon. Do you remember the war that just happened this last summer? There was the rockets were being launched from Lebanon from the areas of Tyre and Sidon. Nothing's changed all that much. The reason why they're there in that region is because back here in the book of Judges, you remember from our previous teaching, when Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land, did they obey God and take out all of that pagan nations that God had told them to do? Did they do that? No, they didn't. They failed at that. They didn't do it. The problem remains, even to this hour. Watch this. He tells them, because you didn't obey, these nations are going to stay there because through these nations, I'm going to teach you now, because of what you didn't do in the beginning, now I'm going to wind up using this to cause your generations to know, yes, God's faithfulness, yes, God's word is true, but because you refuse to obey me, you're going to need to learn how to defend yourself. You're going to need to learn war. Isn't that sad? God didn't want that. But disobedience brought them to the place of having to learn that. And look what it says right here, that God here is really, really fortifying his people and their hearts and their minds to understand that they need to be skilled at war. You say, Jack, I don't like that kind of talk. It's tough. It's too bad. As long as there's a nation that wants to come against you, you better learn how to fight to defend your children, to defend your nation, to defend your home. Listen, this is not heaven. I know there's a lot of people running around, just they want heaven on earth. And I understand that we need to take care of the environment. Hey, our God made it. And if anybody's got custody over the environment, it's God's children, the believer, right? But we're not to worship it. There's a big difference. We should be the greatest environmentalist around, but don't worship it. If you need paper, cut down a tree. You know, if you need to eat, catch a fish. God takes care of all that stuff. But we get so whacked out that we wind up worshiping the creation more than the Creator who is blessed forever. We need to be very careful about that. This environmental thing's become like a golden calf in the mind of so many believers. Watch out. Be very careful. Our God made it. We should take good care of it. Absolutely. But don't worship the thing. That means your pet. I got pets too. They're cute. And doggies and kitties. God made them, and that's beautiful and all that stuff, but man, when it dies, don't have it stuffed and keep talking to it. Bury it, man. Bury it. Move on. But God says here, I'm going to leave these to test your hearts. The word test here in Hebrew is the word that we would say as an assayer. Do you know what an assayer is? If you found some gold today and you didn't know it was gold or not, you would go to the assayer's office. And they would pour acid on that gold, and they would confirm if it's truly gold. God is saying, you know what? You didn't obey me. Now these nations are going to be staying in your community, so to speak. And I'm going to use this to see where your hearts are at with me. God is designed to fortify the heart. Look at our second consideration in verses 5 through 7. His mercy endures forever. Yes, that's true, and I thank you, Jesus, for it. by putting up with their sins. His mercy endures forever. By this we see that He gave them what they asked for. This is amazing. None of us like to hear what we're about to hear. But here it goes. It says in verse 5, "Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites." Those things sound scary, don't they? "And listen, they," Israel, "took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons," intermarried, "and they served their gods," that is foreign gods, that were the gods that were worshipped by these pagan religions. "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot," mark it, "they forgot the Lord their God and served Baals and Ashtoreths," these pagan gods, the Babylonian gods. God says, look, I'm testing your heart. You didn't drive them out. You think you can live with them? So let's just see what happens. So what happens? They wind up, you know, "Oh, look, that Jebusite's really cute. I want to go out with him." So they go to the Jebusite drive-in and they go to the Jebusite diner. They wind up getting married. And God said, don't ever do that. But they wind up doing it. They're sinning boldly, blatantly against what the Lord had said in this intermarriage. And from that moment on, Israel began to go into yet another decline, a state of decline, because it allowed foreign practices to become part of their culture. They were forbidden to do that. Israel was to remain different from all the nations of the world. God had told them exactly what to do. But listen, they failed to protect their heritage, and their culture became vulnerable to these mixed generations with these foreign gods. And they began to decline. It says that they forgot. Look at verse 7 at the latter end. They forgot the Lord their God and served other gods. How could you do that? I want you to think for a moment. How could you know God and then go mess around with some silly idols and statues? How could they do that? How do people do that today? Because of Israel's disobedience to the Lord, the nation began to suffer. And if you look at Israel's history in the book of Judges, and in every time Israel would depart from God, in church, I want you to be thinking about parallels. First of all, Israel went into a moral decline when they worshipped with these other gods, with their wives and their husbands that they took from these other cultures. They began to become deluded in their commitment to the Lord. Hey, Solomon suffered from the same thing, didn't he? It never mixes right. Oh, I'm a strong believer. Listen, I'm a strong believer and he doesn't believe in anything, or he's a cult member, or he's a this or a that, and I'll win him to the Lord. I know that once we're engaged, I'll win him to the Lord. Or once we're married, I'll win him to the Lord. Okay, after 1 year of marriage, I'm sure I'll win him to the Lord in the second year of marriage. There's no such thing as missionary dating. It doesn't work. It's not smart, plus it's against what the Lord has. He says, don't be unequally yoked. God's truth is eternal. He had told them not to intermingle. What happens? Moral decay. What these pagan gods allowed came into their culture. Secondly, socially. The social structure began to fall apart in Israel's towns and cities. You say, well, that's a long time ago. No, it's happening now here. Social decay. And then what follows? Listen, economic ruin. That's very interesting. I'm not making this up. This is the pattern of cultures. Moral decay, social decay, economic failure, and an inability to defend themselves. When you have economic failure, you can't build an army. And so you can't defend yourself. So when the morality of a nation or a people starts to diminish, church, is America in a sense of moral decay? Okay. Secondly, does America even have a social structure anymore? What is America? People are living in America. They don't even know what America means. They don't even know what America stands for. Economically, America, that's the next thing we're at right now. America is on the brink of economic collapse. You say, Jack, you've been saying that for a long time. I'm going to say it until it happens, because it's happening. It's going to happen. You cannot operate as a nation the way that we are, borrowing from other countries billions of dollars without becoming slaves to those other nations. America is in debt to the point to other nations that we can't pay them. And the average American household is absolutely owning nothing and in debt to everything. And when that happens, we will not be able to refuel any of our airplanes or put people on an aircraft carrier. It'd just sit. And you say, that'll never happen. Oh yeah, what happened to Russia in 1989 and 1990? Remember the pictures of all the submarines parked in Murmansk that were rusting? Because they went broke. They're not broke anymore, but they went broke back then. That's always the cycle. Moral decay spreads to social division, which leads to economic hardship, which results in military weakness. Israel was experiencing all of that because they would not obey the Lord. And Israel's neighbors began to understand that Israel was growing weaker. So they waited and they watched. That's what an enemy who's smart will do. Every nation, by the way, has its enemies. It's just not the Jebusites back in Israel's day. Every nation on this planet has an enemy nation against it. And that enemy nation of yours will watch and wait and look for a weakness. Israel was declining and they're being socially weakened in all the areas, and the enemies were watching. These enemies were waiting. According to the Bible, the Lord is the one who defends a nation that cries out to Him. Now, He is completely committed to Israel. It's obvious in the Scripture. Church, according to the Bible, Israel's going to have some very rough days ahead. In fact, Jesus said the days that are coming to Israel will be worse than any other time ever. That's yet future. But Israel will never cease to exist. I know there's a lot of people running around that want that to happen. It's not going to happen. When you look at the Bible and you read it from cover to cover, well, regardless of what you think about Israel, Israel's not going anywhere. Now, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood that are really, and you see Iran saying, we got to attack. The mullahs in Iran, they're the ones pulling the strings, trying to get Iran to attack. And their sales pitch, by the way, is pretty good. The mullahs in Iran want a military strike against Israel because, number one, they view Israel as weak right now. Listen to this. But if they, the mullahs, the religious mullahs, if they can attack Israel and destroy Israel from off the map, remember, didn't Iran say these last several years and most recently this summer in July that they want to drive Israel into the Mediterranean?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 3, which we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Last week here on Real Radio, we presented parts of Pastor Jack's series called Why Jesus? Of course, it was delivered in the context of Passion Week, wherein we commemorate the suffering of Messiah. Well, we're making that series available on both CD and DVD, whichever you prefer. Now that series, Why Jesus, is ideal for your friend or relative or co-worker who may be thinking about receiving and becoming a follower of Jesus, but there may be certain stumbling blocks keeping him from doing so. Well, if you heard last week's editions of Real Radio, you know how well these kinds of issues were dealt with and communicated. So, for your gift to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Why Jesus. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and specify the CD series or the DVD series. Call us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917. Of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.